with you. And we have in the studio Morris Misolowski, who is a business futurist who joins us every Friday at this time. Hey, Morris.
Hello.
Last time for the year.
It is. How that snuck up on us.
Hasn't it just?
Yes.
Incredible. You got all the presents for your kids?
Yes, I think I've got their list.
You didn't do it, did you? Your wife did it, didn't she? Yes. Something's ever changed from house to house. Adeline, you done your shopping for your husband?
He already has told me what he wants.
That's easy.
Which avoids a lot of confusion and any mismanaged expectations.
Ah, surprises, surprises. I like surprises. Let's have a look at the word of the day. So, Morris, Adeline, you are the judges. The word of the day is eminent. E-M-I-N-E-N-T. Now, the first person to come through with a definition for eminent was Garth. He said that was when Adam and the Ants took up rap music. Eminent. Eminent.
Oh, okay.
Eminent. Nice try, Eminent. Yeah, good. Gotcha. We've got a couple that have come through on SMS. Eminent. That's the angry little fellow you confronted when you invade his home. A mango tree laden heavy with ripe, juicy fruit. A mean ant. In fact, armies of them. Angry little ants and mean ant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and mean, got it. Okay, that's good. That's in the movie Ants, and it won an Emmy Award. Z in the movie Ants won an Emmy Award for his role, now known as the Emmy Ant, Jonathan.
And I like that.
I think that is it for the entries today. If anyone else has sent one in and it hasn't arrived yet, oh, sorry, but that's it. Okay.
Well... I reckon, as far as I'm concerned, the Oscar, or the Emmy, goes to Emmy Ant.
Absolutely.
Very good. Okay, Emmy Ant, that is Jonathan. Congratulations to you, Jonathan. You are the big winner today. And we've got your address. Z in the movie Ants won an Emmy Award for his role, known as the Emmy Ant. Eminent means above others in quality and in position.
Mm.
Above others in quality and in position. All right. And the word of the day for Monday, last week of the year here, our calendar year at least, in the West, balustrade. B for Bravo, A for Alpha, L for Lima, U for Uniform, S for Sierra, T for Tango, R for Romeo, A for Alpha, D for Delta, E for Echo. Balustrade. All right. So that's what we've got. Let me just quickly check what the finance markets are doing. We've just done the weather just a few minutes ago, so we might just leave it for the minute. The Australian market is now down 1.25% to just above 4,600. The Nikkei is down by 1.25% as well, just above 10,000. So there are some falls happening across the region. Now, Morris,
yes.
Business futurist, we're crossing to Phil Whelan in Hong Kong in a few minutes. But what... You heard the discussion that we're just doing with Jeremy there. Anything you want to comment on?
I think the 3D is going to be a big issue. We've got the Avatar movie coming out, and that really has been something that we've been talking about for, I think, 4 or 5 years since I first heard about it. A lot of the cinemas have re-engineered themselves so they can begin to play 3D. We also have Toshiba putting out the first 3D television this year. That you don't...
Hang on, this year?
This year, yeah.
Already done?
Yeah, it's already done.
Oh.
It's already done, and you don't need to wear those funny glasses. And they claim, I've not seen it firsthand, but what they claim is you can actually view it from any angle. So you don't actually have to stand straight in front of it. Some new algorithm they've worked out of how to do it. It's very expensive, and I'm sure they haven't sold many, but they announced it was on market. Anyway, so it looks like 3D is up for another push.
That is so interesting. And the lack of glasses. What interesting technology. Now, I saw Creature from the Black Lagoon. We were talking about that earlier. And I saw that in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 1950s 3D movie. Mm. And the girl was swimming in it. And it was like looking at a woman. I thought, how privileged would she be? She'd be one of the few people in the world who could look at herself in 3D. You know? To actually see her whole body. You look in a mirror. And it's not in 3D. It's in 2D. Very interesting to be able to see yourself in 3D.
Yes.
You might be surprised and unhappy with what you see.
No. How could that be? But you'll definitely see a lot more of it. We're actually beginning to build web portals now that are 3D-ish.
Yeah.
So you actually walk around them, not with a glasses, goggly type thing. You actually walk around them as if you are a real person walking around in real space. And there's some interesting work being done around that. So I think this is, as I said, the next big push for 3D to happen. We kind of go in waves. So kind of every 5-10 years, somebody thinks they've reinvented this 3D phenomenon. This seems to be the greatest thing we've seen so far in this realm. But technology will tell us that.
Mm. Okay. All right. What else did you want to talk about?
I thought we'd talk about... Christmas. What else is there at this time?
You were saying something quite interesting. We were just having a bit of a chat just outside, and how we were talking about Santa Claus.
Yes, and that wonderful thing I got. I get this blog, many blogs, and this one was claiming that Santa, the best thing Santa could do this year for the economy is to outsource the deliveries.
Oh, so doesn't that make sense?
So in every country there'd be somebody put to work, or a lot of somebody's put to work delivering lots of presents
everywhere.
Do you
get the idea that that's already happening, though? I mean, I see, like, two Santa Clauses in the same shopping centre, just at different ends of the shopping centre sometimes, and then you visit another shopping centre and he's there as well.
They're not real, though. They're just 3D images of him. And I thought he had outsourced anyway. I think that, yeah. I thought that's what he invented parents for.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
Oh, that's right. You sneak into people's
I didn't ask
Jeremy
what he wanted
presents.
For Christmas. What did he want for Christmas? I didn't ask him. What do you want for Christmas?
That depends. Are you
really
going to deliver
depend.
It?
Yes.
No.
I would go all soppy and say world peace.
Oh. So climate change doesn't rate it for you?
No.
Fair enough. What do you
Might
want, Adelaide?
A different show, Maurice.
Yeah, that's true. What do you want, Adelaide?
I'm not sure. I've got just about everything I want. I mean, there are things that are on my sort of a lusty list. Like, there are a lot of technology things I think I would love to have.
Like?
I don't know. My wireless to work, for example.
That's because you need a new router.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's actually true, you know. I couldn't work out why my wireless wasn't working. And then I just went into the shop for my brand of computer and they said, it's too old. It won't work with the new ones. So they sold me one and it works beautifully. Yeah. Something as simple as that.
Something as simple. I have some swampland I could talk you into.
But isn't that, that's not true, is it?
Oh, it is. It often is. But we were talking before again outside, and I think that is part of your issue there. So maybe that's something Santa can get you.
Yes. How about a nifty little book stand? Or a notebook stand is what I'm saying.
One of those tilt-up ones?
Not those tilt-up ones, but the ones that actually, where you can, you don't, when you're not using your laptop, it just makes your laptop just sit vertically, and that saves you so much desk space.
Yeah, there's a lot of them around. They're not terribly expensive either.
No, there's one particular one I'm looking for.
Excuse me.
Put it on the list.
Excuse me.
I will.
We are not waffling here. I've just been listening to Phil Whelan at RTHK in Hong Kong.
Wobble.
A wobble. What is wobble?
Mate, put 50p in the meter, will you? We'll get a better line.
What is wobble?
Who knows? It's just Whelanomics.
Oh, that's it. Fair
go with me on this one.
Okay, I've never gone with you on anything before, so we might as well do it now.
G'day, everybody. How are you? What's the new... what's it Radio Australia Today, is it? Now?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Just checking.
It's been that way for like 8 months, really.
So how come... I'm the last person to
find
out.
Didn't you get the memo?
There are a couple of envelopes waiting for me upstairs. Maybe that's one of them.
Well, no, we do it by email now, actually.
No, we should have put it in the South China Morning Post, and then you would have read it while you were listening to us.
It has to be on the front page, though.
I don't really tend to get to the cartoons until later in the morning. Hey, Maurice, I've got a question for you.
Yeah, go for it.
Somebody's just sent me a thing here, and I don't know if it's a wind-up. Literally, email just arrived about some stuff happening next year where providers are going to be legally obliged to filter out banned material. Has that crossed your desk?
Oh, it has, and we've been talking about it in Australia for quite a while. It's one of these things that governments and certainly a lot of providers like Warner Brothers and those would like us to do.
And the Chinese Communist Party.
And the Chinese Communist Party, of course. I'm not sure whether we'll be able to. Although in Australia, we seem to be inching ever closer towards trying to achieve it.
But most of this stuff is created in Australia.
That's not true.
We're not that inventive, Phil.
No, the fun stuff. I don't know where this guy's got his quote from, but he reckons it's a 7-month trial in conjunction with providers, and they found the technology behind the filter to be 100% effective, which means Australia will join the ranks of nations such as China and Iran when it comes to filtering content. There's no bias in this article, by the way. And then it says the evil, crossed out, strongly conservative Catholic mastermind behind the enterprise is Stephen Conroy.
Our communications minister.
Yes. He has been pushing that barrow for a while. Firstly, there's nothing that's ever 100%. There are lots of ways I can tell you right now, but I wonder how you can get around it.
Absolutely. But what's the point of doing this in Australia, one of the freest speaking countries in the world?
I don't know, and that's why there has been a lot of opposition to it. A lot of opposition.
It's just daft. I mean, who are they trying to protect?
And
the argument is kids, trying to protect kids from all the stuff that parents don't want them to see.
But shouldn't parents be doing that? And the question is, who's then going to dictate what we should and shouldn't be reading and have access to?
Well, that's the big question.
And that is the big question.
yeah. is...
Because it was only 30 years ago, we weren't allowed to see... I remember when I was at school, the Little Red School Book. Do you remember that?
No.
The Little Red School Book.
Before my time.
Oh, yeah. That was a good... you stop saying that? The Little Red School Book was a really naughty book that's supposed to be a little naughty book. It was banned by the Australian government. It wasn't allowed to come in. Don't know where it came from. But it wasn't allowed to come in. And and we all had to have it. And somehow we all managed to find it. It was illegal. We were 12. It was illegal. We got it. And in it, it just said, put flap A into slot B, basically. It wasn't anything particularly, you know,
What was it meant to be?
We thought it was going to be great. You know, we thought it was going to be like... You know, Playboy magazine on steroids, but it was nothing. Nothing. Oh, dang.
I think that's got how they got us to read The French Lieutenant's Woman in Year 12, too.
Whoa, page 67, my goodness.
I didn't mind 76, but okay.
I just wondered if this one was a wind-up or if it's actually true. I mean, the hint in this press release is sort of religious morals and stuff like this.
But, that's probably a cynical way of looking at it, but he does want to do it.
Yeah, he's wanted to do it for quite a while. I don't think he's going to have much luck getting it through.
I just wonder to what end. I mean, they stop kids, apparently, I don't know which age group, doing this, but then if it is a religious thing, then the alternative is to think religious thoughts, which not all parents want their kids to do.
And whose religious thoughts should they be thinking?
Yeah, well, exactly. Right. You know, my God has a bigger than your God. I mean, anyway.
But what it is, truly what it is, it's a political move, because the Labor Party is actually quite a conservative party, and Kevin Rudd is a person who aligns himself very closely with the church, and I think certainly they're trying to get the conservative side of their own party on side, and certainly the conservative side of the community on side as well. So that's probably where it's coming from.
Is conservatism sort of on the wax a little in Australia?
No, opposite.
Yeah.
Only because we had an opposition, right, which is
Mr. Abbott, you know, he's supposed to be quite a conservative, isn't he?
Supposed to be quite a conservative, and that's the interesting point, because he replaced Malcolm Turnbull, who was the head of the Republican movement, who's a man who was quite a progressive. In fact, it's been often said he's in the wrong party. He should be a member of the Labour Party.
I think he should be the Prime Minister. That speech was fantastic.
Which speech?
The one that the last, you know, his last stand.
The last hurrah.
Yes.
He
can speak, because he was a lawyer. He was the man, I think I might have mentioned to you before, the spycatcher trial back in the 80s with Peter Wright. He was a man who defended him and won that case. And he's very eloquent indeed. But perhaps with the wrong party. That's certainly the view that's been put by some. And Tony Abbott, far more conservative, the man that got him, that replaced him, far more conservative, is a person who is against abortion. He's a pro-lifer. And his
He'll
views
support
are very...
having internet connections banned, won't he?
I'm sure that he will.
There's an interesting thing in the news this morning. I saw on the BBC that, you know, it's the last hurrah for the climate change conference, and not a lot is happening. We'll see, 11th hour. But there was a clip from a Republican senator from the States, and he's one of a growing number of people that are saying, hang on a minute, is this climate change thing real anyway?
Yes, a few skeptics. Tony.
What are you there?
Yeah, we just had a problem there. I know. Censorship. No, it wasn't. No, we just had a slight glitch in the studio there.
You just pushed the cough button, didn't you? Sat on the cough button.
Actually, there is a cough button. Where's your elbow?
I've got one, hang on. And I don't even
know. No, it wouldn't have been that. You wouldn't have stopped me.
Works. Cough button here. But it does work. Amazing.
You've never sounded better.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you've...
Stop doing it. It's freaking me out.
Now it sounds like you're having hiccups.
We do have a rise of conservatism to a point, but it depends on if people are going to vote for it. They voted Labour last time, so would they go for a son of John Howard?
What is the climate change going to... What's the takeaway, if you like? It's sounding really rather like nothing's going to happen, loads of dough down the drain, and China, very, very clever, sort of being all useful, like, you know, helping mummy in the kitchen, so that when this thing's over, they can say, well, we told them something useful.
Yeah. Interesting, that one. What do you think, Morris?
I don't think we'll get much out of it, unfortunately, but I didn't go into it with much hope. But I think it is the conversation we need to have, and it'll be a few more conversations before we get somewhere with it.
Well, you know, they've got the Mexico meeting happening next year, and people have been saying, here in Australia, Phil, they've been saying, let's wait for Copenhagen, let's not take action, let's wait for Copenhagen. I just hope that these meetings that are going to happen every year...
let's wait for Mexico.
Yeah, let's wait for Mexico. You know, we used to say here in the ABC when we got new studios, don't worry, wait till the new studios come in, all the problems will be fixed. And then, of course, with new studios, there's all these bugs. And then, you know, don't worry, wait for the next new studio, things will be fixed. So we'll see.
You
what
think you've got problems? I'm broadcasting from a garden shed at the bottom of Mongkok High Street. Yeah.
Well, see, you don't have that thing to look forward to.
No.
The new studios.
Well, apparently we do. Apparently, seriously, we do. There's been a big revamp of RTHK, and the man from the government says yes now. He used to hate us, but anyway. And apparently there's, you know, Dr. Evil's lair being built somewhere, but I don't think it's going to be in my lifetime.
You're still going to have the wood panel on the wall?
No, I've still got right under here, and if you can hear now, I'm touching it. Hang on. I've still got... Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Well, I think I've just phoned the fire brigade. We've still got a telephone. We've still got a telephone under the desk that you wind up. Germany calling. Germany calling. I can't believe it. It's brilliant, this. It's made of Bakelite, too. So don't let anybody say that RTHK isn't at the forefront of technology.
It'd be worth a quid, wouldn't it?
About that.
Yeah. But you could take it to Mongkok. They'd knock off a few copies. It'd be terrific. You'd make an industry out of that.
Okay, so apparently that report I just read, quote, it's kosher, says this fella, it's from the BBC, it must be.
Yes, it is very interesting, isn't it, that report. So they're aiming for 3% according to that report, although a 3-degree increase according to what's come out in The Guardian. So 3 degrees would be quite a bad outcome because you would lose a lot of Greenland, which would raise water levels, temperature levels by 2 meters, which would be terrible for a lot of people in the Pacific and in the Indian Ocean as well.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why on the last day all these people are coming out and saying, hang on a minute, is this climate change thing just a CIA conspiracy? Yeah. It's the last day of the conference and there's people saying it left, right and centre. Well, not the CIA bit, I made that up, but, you know, just is it real?
I went to a party the other night and the guy said to me, I'll never forget, yeah. This guy said to me, he said, this is all a conspiracy, this whole climate change thing. The big businesses that are after convincing people that climate change is happening. I said, hang on, I thought the big businesses were coal, oil, you know,
all energy related.
That are all actually...
Iron and steel, I suppose. Mm.
Yeah, they'd be the ones that don't want people to believe in climate change, I would have
thought. Well, you'd think so.
Yeah.
Because they seem to have the most to lose.
Yeah. So, interesting. He was saying, no, it's on the other side. It's all those big, greedy companies that are going into geothermal.
But you've got to love a good conspiracy theory.
You do. Yeah.
You've written me a very cryptic note that says, Christmas songs.
Christmas songs?
Who wrote that note? Adelaide, did you write that note?
It was Morris.
I didn't write it.
Alone.
Let's just blame each other.
Anyway, Christmas. At least I'm here on my own. I can only blame myself if I mess up.
Well, I tell you what, we do have some Christmas music if you want some Christmas music.
Oh, you want to play some Christmas songs?
No, okay. I didn't know. I'm not sure what it's about. But
right, hey, Morris is busily trying to figure out what did he mean
by
sending me a note saying Christmas songs.
I'm right with Christmas songs.
Well, look, let me play this Christmas song,
okay.
Right? Phil, you're going to love this Christmas song. It's from a new album by Neil Diamond, and it's called Cherry Cherry Christmas.
Go on then.
Oh, no.
Horrible.
Wait till you get a minute in.
Wish you a very merry cherry cherry Christmas.
Yeah, okay. That's enough of that.
Neil?
Play more. Go on.
Arrange these words. Scraping. Neil. Barrel. I think you can get away with anything at Christmas.
Yeah, he only sold 100,000 copies
famous.
Too. Yes.
What did he buy them all?
He scraped a golden barrel, my friend. A golden barrel, Sammy.
Yeah, I suppose the fun thing at this time of year for radio guys is to find what they think is the worst Christmas song. I haven't quite got to that level yet or depth. What have you sort of got on that score?
I do. I've got the worst song. Here it is. This is from another Christmas album which has come out, and it's Bob Dylan's Christmas album. Right. It's true. Bob Dylan's Christmas, the Christmas Blues.
The jingle bells are jingling. The streets are
put Neil back on.
Happy crowds are mingling, but there's no one that I know. I'm sure that you'll forgive me.
And he's got the Christmas flu by the sounds of it.
And to think they called him a Judas for playing the electric guitar.
Now,
that is terrible, isn't it? Because the whole album is like that. He's obviously lost his voice, and that I think is very, I mean, you know.
I think Rod Stewart does a much better job at those jazzy sort of numbers with that, you know, sort of
a
rocky, husky voice.
Those
have done really well. I think he did an anthology or something, a 4-CD set, something or other, and they've all done really well. I'm just wondering, Morris.
If you do want to hear some Christmas melodies, the right ones, there's a wonderful website, which is Christmas Radio. And not that I'd say we shouldn't be listening to us.
It's called Christmas Radio?
ChristmasMelody.com.
Right.
ChristmasMelody.com. And it has all of the continuous hits. Make sure you're not standing next to a ledge when you listen.
I'm just flicking through my... I've just found a Christmas box on the computer here, and I'm flicking it through, and I think it's not necessarily the comedy songs or the cheesy rewrites by famous people like Bob that are the horrible ones. I think anything by a boy band or a sort of teeny band is going to be rubbish. I'm just flicking in the dark here. Let's see if this is any good. Steps. What do you reckon? A few more seconds. See what I mean?
Bring the old
Santa
back.
Had a ball down there. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, I know. Brilliant. I've got the Christmas song here. I've just found it. Get off. Get rid of steps. Get lost. Okay. Don't come back. Here we go. It's the Wombles. Now we're talking. We are cooking with gas. Right, I'm going to put that to sleep because I want to play it at the end properly. The Wombles, man, that is where we are at. Brilliant.
The Christmas song of all time, the Christmas song of all time is the one that was in Love Actually, the one that Bill Nye sang.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
I feel it in my fingers.
I feel it in my tongue. You don't remember that?
I do.
Just spoiled my Christmas thing.
Yes. Yeah. I'll try and get it out of my head as quickly as
actually,
possible.
Actually, I've just got some news just in there. I better tell you about a spokesman for the Pakistan. This is serious, Phil. Spokesman for Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari has dismissed rumours of a coup that's supposed to have started after a government minister suspected of corruption was stopped from leaving the country. He has said there is no coup. Whether that means there is no coup or not, we'll have to wait and see. But, so...
That's your news voice, is it?
Yeah, that sort of is. No, it's not. Me. I talk like this to my wife. So, getting back to Jack, a spokesman for Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari.
Pakistani President.
Not again.
He's a right lad.
He is.
Sorry.
Pass the chips. A spokesman for the... Yeah. Good.
Morris,
getting back to Christmas.
Yes, I'm interested in Morris.
While we go through that, let's take a countdown. There are 6 days, 5 hours, 4 minutes and 42 seconds till Santa arrives.
Ah, but not if you're in Hong Kong.
Well, this is true. How do I know this? Thank you. It is actually my favourite website. I love this one. I look forward to it every year. Is NORADSanta.org.
What's that?
That's where you can track Santa. When Santa leaves...
Well, I thought that was where you could raise money for the IRA Santa through NORAD.
No, that might be the other one. NORAD Santa. NORADSanta.org. I actually do like it because you can track him around the world when he's delivering presents. It actually tells you where in the world he is, shows you videos of him being there.
Does it tell you what he's bringing you in particular for Christmas?
It doesn't, but it's actually... I know it's strange, but I actually do like watching it. It only goes live on Christmas Eve and is only live for 24 hours and then goes off again till next year. Very sad.
So it would start here, wouldn't it? Sort of.
It starts almost near here. I think we're
Christmas is wasted on the Aussies because it's hot there. Who ever heard of Santa
it's not hot here. Well, I suppose
Club
it is.
Tropicana.
That's supposed to rain, isn't it?
Sydney is 40 degrees
the other day.
But now it's freezing.
It's supposed to be the summer in Sydney. There's all these people from Hong Kong going, I'm off on my holes to Australia or wherever they go.
It's snowing in Tasmania, parts of it.
But we've had fires, of course, burning around Sydney.
Phil, can you knock it off, please? We're trying to be happy on Christmassy here. 65 people have been mutilated. Great, thank you, Phil. That's really nice.
See, that's the voice you could use with your wife or girlfriend if you had one.
It's true. My gerbil doesn't understand me.
Moving along.
Gratuitous thought here about Christmas. Did you watch the new Jim Carrey movie? I saw it the other day.
No.
Christmas Carol, you know, Scrooge and all that.
Oh, was it good?
Great. Really good. Really good. Sorry. Okay. It's really good.
I hear it was really bad.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Yeah, Jim Carrey doesn't do it for me normally.
I just said fabulous. I must stop doing that.
I've heard people who usually like Jim Carrey didn't like him in this one.
That's because of, I think, after that 23 movie, everybody thought he'd gone a bit weird. He was really good in this. Totally credible English accent. It's really good.
Oh, that's good.
So he's moved on.
What about talking of 3D Avatar? Is that a 3D film? Is it?
Yep.
Which? Oh, didn't I?
Have you seen a film?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
If you want to know all
most expensive film of all time,
all of the Christmas movies they're on, it's ChristmasFlick.com is a database of all the Christmas movies.
Jim Morris has got lots of everything. It's brilliant.
He's got kids.
I came prepared.
He has to know.
Listen, I would like to go simply because I want to play a bit of the Wombles, really, having said I will.
Seriously? Good. Well,
we're not talking next week. For the Wombles.
We'll see you after the New Year.
Yeah, we're not talking next week, so have a happy Christmas, guys.
And to you.
And a
great
right.
New Year.
Bye-bye.
All right. No, get it off. Get it off. That was the Wombles, playing by a Womble. Phil Whelan, RTHK in Hong Kong. Morris. It's almost
Phil,
time for us to go.
It is.
Well, Morris, it's been good. Thank you for coming in. And
you're most welcome.
Your website that I always intend to give out, but I never do, it's businessfuturist.com. Futurist, F-U-T-U-R-I-S-T, businessfuturist.com.
And if you want more useless links for Christmas, it's businessfuturist.me. And there's a whole lot of links there and some videos I've put up.
What's M-E?
It's me. It's my blog.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You don't have to have a com or anything?
No, it's instead of the com. So .com takes you to the corporate one, .me takes you to my blog.
Oh, good. Okay. Business Futurist. Thank you very much, Morris.
A pleasure.
Good
wish
to have
you.
You
a great Christmas
yeah,
and a terrific New Year to both of you
okay.
And to
you
all
too.
The listeners.
And will you be playing Santa Claus?
Maybe, if I can fit into the suit.
Thanks very much, Morris.